If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. I have to pause there. Live in reverent fear. What does he mean by reverent fear? It's picking up the traditional idea of fear of the Lord. So let's look at that for a few moments. Fear of the Lord, you know this already, but it might need clarification a bit. Hebrew poetry works very commonly on the principle that what's said in one line is then repeated in the next line from a different angle. That's a double attempt to express. So, for example, in Psalm 33, verse 18 reads, "The eye of the Lord is on those who fear him." And that's what we're trying to examine. Next line, "on those who hope in his love." So fear means hope in his love. That's not the full meaning, but they're obviously the same thing. They belong together. Hoping in God's love is one way of speaking of fear of the Lord. Psalm 118 reads, "Let those who fear the Lord say," and this is what you say if you fear the Lord, "his steadfast love endures forever." So I hope you can see this has nothing to do with being afraid of God. If you have fear of the Lord, awe is part of it, wonder is part of it, fear is part of it. You've got to keep that word in there somewhere. There's a certain level of fear, but it's more to do with losing God. It's more to do with the fear that that you might have when you're looking at the ocean and its power, even though you're perfectly safe and you're just holding onto the cliff side and you're not in danger. It's still awesome, isn't it? Or it might be the fear you have if you're a husband and you're with your wife when she's having her first child and the whole thing is awesome and you come out looking blank. You don't know what to say. People say, "How was it?" You just haven't got words because it's too big to find words for. And the pain, but also the beauty, and you know, all that, you know what it is. So there's something of fear in there, something of feeling small, something of feeling very little in face of the magnificent bigness of everything, but it's about love primarily, God's love. Psalm 112 reads, "Happy are those who fear the Lord," next line, means "who greatly delight in his commandments." Now that's another way of saying fear the Lord, greatly delighting in God's commandments. Proverbs has got a lot on this. 9:10 reads, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom," a phrase that you've always heard. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's not the fullness of it, but fear of the Lord is at the beginning. It's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Proverbs, I haven't got it there, but Proverbs 8:13 talks about fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Hatred of evil is fear of the Lord, meaning you hate evil because this fear that you have which comes from the Lord, it's not the Lord isn't the object of your fear, but from the Lord, of the Lord, coming from the Lord, is this fear, what? The fear of losing all this by getting caught up in sin. See the difference? The problem is the expression "of" can make it look as though God is the object of your fear. Well, God is the object, the one who fills you with awe, but what you're actually afraid of is losing all this by your stupidity, by your sinfulness, and so on. Proverbs, not there again, is 14:27 reads, "Fear of the Lord is a fountain of life." Now, just go for your own experience. I'll say it briefly. I'm certain of this myself, and I bet you are too. You know how sometimes in your life you can be... You may not have this experience. I don't know what your life's like. But you know, sometimes your life is going along quite smoothly. And if life's going along quite smoothly, you're going along quite smoothly. And often, maybe skimming along the surface. I don't want to say that, but maybe. And then something happens to you. you get news about your health or someone whom you love is hurting or something, whatever, and you're dragged inside and you become a bit fragile, and God, you turn to God. That's normal, like a child. You realize that there's more to life, that this successful, ordinary, bouncing along the surface of life, going quite well life, suddenly it's not all that going well. It's a fairly fragile thing. So an element of fear comes in, and with it, a childlike sense that I'm not independent, I'm actually just a pretty fragile human being who really needs the mystery, and you go deeper. Is that what you do? I mean, it's a pretty common tendency among us anyhow, and probably a good one. There's a story, I won't read it, Isaiah chapter 6 is all about Isaiah seeing the holiness of God, and he says, "Woe is me, I'm lost, I'm a man of unclean lips, I live among a people of unclean, my eyes have seen the King," and the awe at the majesty of God, the reverse side of that is the sense of his own smallness and poverty and sinfulness and fragility and all of that. This is an incredible little sentence in Exodus 20, verse 20. Just take it as it stands. "Do not be afraid. God has come only to test you and to put the fear of him upon you so that you will not sin." It could appear contradictory until you see what I'm trying to share with you. Don't be afraid. All what's happening to you is you're experiencing the fear of the Lord. That's a good thing, fear of the Lord. It's one of the gifts of the Spirit. It's nothing to do with being afraid. It's not sinning. It's awareness of you, and it's turning you into the mystery who alone can bring you to love. All right. So that's at least a start in looking at what fear of the Lord is. So back to our text. Live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and your hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, obedience to the truth, and the truth in the Bible, New Testament, always means the truth of who God is love, so that you have genuine mutual love. The Greek is Philadelphia. 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 Delphos is a brother, or Delphe is a sister. Philos is love. So love of your brothers and sisters. That's one of the main themes of this letter, as you'll see. You have genuine mutual love. The love that brothers and sisters have. Love one another deeply from the heart. You've been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring Word of God. So the Word of God has brought a new life to them, and they've been born into this new community that shares this Word. Then he quotes Isaiah chapter 40, "All flesh is like grass, all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the Word of the Lord endures forever." That Word is the good news that was announced to you.